And we're holding on Chof Zayin Amud Aleph, the first Mishnah. Mishnah says, a small amount of the koimetz is ma'akev the whole thing, meaning, as we've learned before, that if any part of the koimetz is missing, then the whole koimetz and the whole mincha as a whole is possible. You have to offer the whole thing. Similarly, isorin, similarly, you have the mincha has to consist of an isorin of flour, and also mi'utim ma'akev esirubay, the same thing, a small amount of it missing, then the whole thing is possible. Hayayin mi'utim ma'akev esirubay, the same thing when it comes to the wine. You have a certain amount of wine for the different kinds of animals, as it lists in Parshas Shlach, you have to have the exact amount and no less. So a small amount of it missing is ma'akev all the rest of it. In other words, the point is, with all these things, we don't say, you know, a lot of times in halacha, we say rubri kikula, as long as you have most of something, then it's enough. But here we don't say that. Here it's not 51% is not good, 80%, 99% is not good. You need the whole 100%. Similarly, hashemen, the oil of any kind of mincha, whether we're talking about, Rashi points out, whether you're talking about minchas nisachim, where you have the various fractions of a hin, the various numbers of lugin that you need for the different types of animals, or whether you're talking about a regular standalone mincha, which has a lug of oil. So also, if a small amount of it is missing, then the whole thing is possible. We did talk about the other day, we did have something that Tosfos had brought up a point that you might have, for example, you pour the lug of oil into the mincha and a little bit of it stays stuck inside the container. And then we had talked about then that according to the Shlokish, you have to take the koimetz of a dry mincha and wipe it and then rub it in that oil so it'll stick together a little. And that's not a problem because that's called Lonitna Toto Malachi Ashotis. The Toto doesn't expect us to be malachim to be able to get out every single drop of oil, but it means, in other words, basically you have to get it out to the extent that you normally would. In a different context, actually, the Rambam, for example, brings up a point that, let's say, he brings up in one of his Truvas based on a Mishnah in Masechta Trumas, that, for example, when you have a container that you've used for wine or oil of Truma, for example, and now you want to use it for the same liquid of Chulin, then you empty it out, but once it stops pouring and three drops in succession have come out of it, then it's considered that you've taken out the Truma and now you can put in regular food in there. You don't have to scour it out completely or kasher it or anything like that. Furthermore, continues the Mishnah, the flour and the oil are ma'akev one another. A mincha has to consist of flour and of oil. A regular mincha, that is not a mincha schoita, of course, but a regular mincha consists of flour and oil, and you have to have both of those things. And the koimetz and the levona are ma'akev one another. You have to offer the levona, you have to offer the koimetz and the levona, and if you do one without the other, then it's no good. We learned earlier about the levona, how much of it do you need? We talked about, we had different opinions of tanoim, do you need a koimetz of it? Can you get away with one grain of it, with two grains of it? So in fact, one of the mafarshim explains that that's taka why the Mishnah doesn't say anything about halavona mi'utim akav esrugoi, because according to some opinions, you taka can get away with a very small amount of levona. So the Gemara says, my timer, why is that? We're saying that you have to have the entire koimetz and nothing missing. Omakra, because the pasuk is Maloi Kumfe Tvei Zimni. Twice the Torah says that the koin has to take his full handful. So, and we know the usual rule is Shana Olavak Fosav La'akiv. When the Torah repeats something when it comes to korbanos, then it means that it has to be that way and there's nothing can be missing. Nothing can be any less than that. For the same reason we learned in the first parak, that, for example, when he takes the koimetz, if there's a grain of salt in it, or a grain of levoina, or whatever, then it's possible, for the same reason. Why is it that with the isorin of flour, you have to have the entire thing, and even a small amount is ma'akev? Why is that? Same thing. Omakram, so here it's not a repetition, but here it's the omakram, because the positive is misolta, from its flour, that he has to take the kmitza, from its flour, which implies, of course, that means solus. So therefore, it means its flour, the entire amount of flour that you have to have, shim chosro kol shu psula, it means if any amount of it is missing, then it's possible. Next, we said, hayayin mi'ut ma'akev esrugoi, the same thing with the wine, mi'ut is ma'akev, the whole thing. Why? Because the pasuk says kocha. Because when the nisachim, when it gives the amounts of flour, the amounts of wine and of oil, flour and wine and oil, it says kocha, like this, and it means exactly like this and no less. So therefore, so we learn from that. What about when it comes to the oil? How do we know that you have to have the entire thing? So it depends which kind of mincha we're talking about. As we said, as Rashi had pointed out in the Mishnah, when it comes to oil, you have two different kinds of menachas. You can talk about minchas nesachim or standalone mincha. So the minchas nesachim, same thing, kocha. By minchas nesachim, the reason is because of the word kocha in the pasuk, that it's referring to both the wine and the oil. And minchas nedava, as far as a minchas nedava, the reason why it's ma'akev is omakra, because the pasuk says umishamna, and from its oil, and again, its oil means the amount of oil that's supposed to be, shem chaser kol shuv psula, and therefore if any amount of it is missing, then it's going to be possible. So now the Gemara is not bringing the pasuk to show that that Tosfos later on in the Masechta points out Gilyon HaShas actually refers to a Tosfos later on in the next Perek that talks about. So we have the pasuk is bringing for the Gemara is bringing for us a pasuk to tell us. That to tell us when it comes to the oil that you need one pasuk for a minchas nesachim and one for a standalone mincha. But when it's going to continue and tell us that when it comes to hasolus vashemen, shemen vasolus, the oil and the flour are ma'akev one another, there it doesn't bring two separate psukim for the two different kinds of mincha, it's just going to bring one pasuk. And the reason is because once we're told already that they're the same thing, then we don't need a special pasuk for each thing from then on. It's also broad in this connection from Revelva Brisker. He explains when it comes to the amount of oil you actually have, there's a different amount of oil depending on the type of mincha. Standalone mincha versus minchas nitzachim have different amounts of oil. You have one lug per isarin. For standalone mincha, you have two or three lugim of oil per isarin for minchas nitzachim, as we learned a few days ago. But the flour is always the same, therefore, so we don't need a special pasuk to tell us flour and oil are ma'akev one another for each one of them, but you do need separate psukim when it comes to the amount of oil. Okay? So, Hashem and Vasolus ma'akvin zezeh, this is saying that the oil and the flour are ma'akev one another. The reason is because the pasuk says in connection with a regular mincha, misolta o mishamna, it has to have from its flour and from its oil. Which means, in other words, that you have to have both of them. And similarly, by the oimer, which comes from barley flour, the expression is migirso mishamna from its geres, which is the same thing. Geres is the same thing as solus. It actually explains, but solus is the term for the finest grade of wheat flour. Geres is the term for the finest grade of barley flour. So the pasuk describes, when it describes minchas bikurim, which means minchas ha'omer, then it uses the expression that you have to have geres caramel, which means the best quality of barley flour for it, and that it goes together with oil. And the pasuk says that he should take the koimetz migyuso mishamna. So therefore, so we learn that you have to have both of them. Tosfos points out also, when it comes to ma'akvin zeh, to say that there are two things and they're interdependent, for that you have to have a repetition in the pasuk. But when you're talking about something where it itself, if something of it is missing, then you don't even need a repetition, then the fact that it just says it once is enough. So here we're talking about the oil and the soilus, the ma'akvin one another, therefore it's not enough for it to say misolto mishamna, it also has to say migirso mishamna by the oimer. And now we know. Now we have a shonal or a cost of lack, and we have a repetition, and therefore it means it's ma'akev. Hakoymetz v'alavoyna ma'akvin zeh. And the last thing we said is the koymetz and lavoyna ma'akev one another, because, again, because the pasuk repeats it. First it says alkol lavoynasa, that he has to offer the koymetz together with all of its lavoyna. And then the pasuk also says ve'es kol lavoyna asher mincha, and all the lavoyna which is on that mincha. So again, you have a repetition, and therefore it means that, it's ma'akev. Okay. Now that we talked about, so now for almost the next 20 block, we're going to be digressing from topics of menachos and going on to other topics. For by way of, since now we said with several things with a mincha, that one part is ma'akev another, so now we're going to go through a variety of other things in Torah, a variety of other mitzvahs that have components where one component is ma'akev another. In other words, if you don't have all the components, then you're not yotze the mitzvah. And then that's going to eventually bring us into tefillin and sifrei Torah and mezuzahs, all of which have that din as well, because one letter missing and the whole thing is possible. And eventually then we're going to get to the other way around, where there are certain mitzvahs where the different parts are are independent of one another, and if you don't have one, you're still yotze with the other one only. A classic example being tzitzis, we're going to have at the end of our perek, in the beginning of next perek, about tzitzis. You don't have tchelas, you still have white strings, as we do nowadays, and eventually that's going to get us back into menachas, where you have the same kinds of things. Certain things, when it comes to menachas and korbanos in general, there are certain things where you don't have to have all the components, and you have one without the other, and it's still kosher, as in we're going to start talking about later on in the mems. We're going to talk about...
Right. What?
So it's till the end of the perek over here, we're off the top of the menachas. Into the beginning of, yeah, the next perek starts off with dinim of tzitzis and goes a few blots in on that, and then it gets back to topics of menachas.
One question.
And it's actually, what?
One question.
Yeah.
One question. If one corner of the four corners is missing tzitzis, it's possible,
no, that's
isn't
not
it?
What we mean. What we mean, you do have to have all four tzitzis. But if you don't have tchelas, then you can still use white strings. After all, the Torah tells us you have to have white and you have to have tchelas. And they're two parts of a mitzvah. Nevertheless, unlike we're saying over here, for example, the flour and the oil, which are ma'akev one another, here with tzitzis, it's not like that. You have to have all four tzitzis, the same as we're going to talk about now. For example, you have to have all four minim of the lulav and esrog and other examples like that. But white and tchelas are not dependent on one another, and if you have only one, then you're yotze without the other one. And that's eventually
what's
going
to
bring...
What? Since we're talking about tzitzis, what's the minimum length you have to have?
So let's actually read in a few blocks, actually. We're going to be at the end of this perek, and the beginning of the next perek, we're going to be talking in great detail all about the dinim of tzitzis. So hold that thought, and we'll be learning it, in about 2 weeks, says Hashem.
Okay.
Anyway, but the point, eventually we're going to get back into menachos. Talk about, for example, the korbanos musaf, where, for example, you have to bring two sheep on Shabbos, or seven sheep and a couple of rams and whatever on most of the Yom Tovim. But if you don't have the proper number of animals, you still bring whatever you have and you're still yotze. So eventually we're going to get back into korbanos by way of that. So the Mishnah says, Shnei se'ir yemech kippurim ma'akvin zeh, the two goats of Yom Kippur, the goat, the one la'ashem and the one la'azazel, are ma'akiv one another. You can't have one without the other. In fact, to the point where even you have Mishnayos in Yuma that talk about, for example, what if one of them dies, or what if one of them is the blood spills of the Sar Lashem, what do we have to do as far as the other ones? You have to have both of them. Similarly, Shnei Kivtzei Atzeres Ma'akvin Zeh, the two sheep that are brought on Shavuos together with the Shtei Lechem are ma'akev one another. Now, we're going to learn later on in the next parak, we're going to learn that they and the Shtei Alechem themselves are not ma'akev one another. You can bring one without the other. We're going to actually have machlokas tanoim about that. But the two sheep themselves are ma'akev one another. You have to have both of them. Similarly, beis chalas ma'akev zuasu. The two chalas, the two Shtei Alechem themselves are ma'akev one another. You can't just bring one of them. Shnei Sdorin Ma'akvin Zezeh, similarly the two stacks of Lechem Aponim are Ma'akv one another. You have to have the full 12. We learned it earlier in Amasechta, for example, what happens if one of the Lechem Aponim breaks before they offer the Levoina? So you have to have the entire 12 of them, and you have to have the entire two stacks. Similarly, Shnei Bozichin Ma'akvin Zezeh, the two spoonfuls of Levoina on the Shulchan are Ma'akv one another. You can't just have one of them. And the stacks of lechem aponim and the spoonfuls of levoina are ma'akev one another, because they bear the same relationship. The lechem aponim and the levoina bear the same relationship as a mincha and as the shirayim of a mincha and the koymetz. And as we've been learning throughout the masechta so far, no koymetz, no shirayim, and vice versa. So they force it the same way. The bezichin and the stacks of lechem aponim are ma'akev one another. Next, Shnei Minim Sheba Nazir, the two types of bread that a Nazir brings with his korbanos. He brings two, he brings 10 each of two types of bread. We're going to talk about them in more detail later in the Masechta. Shloisha Sheba Parah, and the three things that have to be put together with a Parah Adroma. When you bring a Parah Adroma, you have to have Eitz Erez and Ezev and Shnei Telah, so you have to have all four of them. The Dalad Sheba Toda, the four types of bread that come with a korban Toda, which we're also going to learn about in much more detail later in the Masechta. The Dalad Sheba Lulav, the four minim of the Lulav, the Arba Sheba Metzorah, and the four things that have to be brought for the Metzorah's purification, for the beginning, when it talks about the beginning of Parshas Metzorah, that you need also Eitz Erez, Ezev, and Shnei Telah, plus there you also need two birds. So all of those things, Ma'akv and Zeh, all those things are Ma'akv one another. Tosfos points out, wait, you have a fifth thing as well, because you have also the water that there has to be Mayim Chaim there as well. But Tosfos says, because since you shecht one of the birds and you mix the blood with it, so we're not really considering it a separate ingredient. It is true that you have to have it, but afterwards it and the blood become intermingled, and therefore you really only have four. Tosfos also points out there are, in fact, other things. The Mishnah, in fact, is leaving out various other things that it could have listed that are ma'akiv one another. But okay, Tana Rishayah, the Tana often leaves out certain things and doesn't give an exhaustive list. Sheva hazois sheba pora ma'akvas zuasu. Similarly, also the seven sprinklings when the kohen is preparing the parah aduma, after he shechts it, he takes the blood and sprinkles it seven times in the direction of the heichal. Also ma'akvas zuasu. Those are all ma'akv one another. If you don't do seven sprinklings, then the parah aduma is possible. Zayin hazois shal ben abadim. Also the seven sprinklings. It's really eight actually. Achas l'mayel of a sheva l'mata. But whatever, the ones that he does ben abadim that he does between the poles of the aron. In the first place of Mekdash and in the second place of Mekdash, in that spot. V'shal ha-paroiches, and the ones that have to be done on the paroiches. V'shal mizbach ha-zahav, and all the applications of blood that are done on the mizbeach ha-zahav, all those ones that are on Yom Kippur. So all of those, and by the power helam davar shel tzibur and the power kohen mashiach, you also have all those kinds of things. So and by the seiri avodah zara, all those ma'akv zuasu, all those are ma'akv one another, as we learned in ezer makom and hatanachas and ma'akavas. If there's one application of them that's missing, then the whole thing is possible. So then it comes out we're missing a few, because again you really have eight. You really have eight in the Kodesh HaKadoshim from each one of them, from each of the two animals, and eight and eight in front of the Paroiches, and then on the Mizbeach HaZahav, you don't just have the seven on the, you also have the four on the corners. So the Rashash points out over here that it should at least list the four on the corners, and the reason is because here we're not really, in Zvachim it already explained that. We already learned in Zvachim, Chiser Echad, if one is missing, then Loi Kippur. But also the Tana just wants to mention groups of seven. It is true that in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in the Kodesh it's really eight, but fine, the Tana is listing seven, so he just wants to finish with seven and he doesn't bother mentioning, even though the fact is in each of those cases you have eight. Okay. So again, let's go through like we did in the previous Mishnah and demonstrate how we know each of these things is ma'akiv. Shnei Se'irim Yom HaKippurim Ma'akiv Zeze. Why are the two Se'irim Ma'akiv one another? Meaning, again, if you don't have one of them, then you don't have it, then you can't bring the other. Because Chukah, because the Torah says at the end of the whole section over there that it should be L'Chukas Olam. It should be for a Chukah forever. And the general rule is whenever it says Chukah, we've learned this earlier, then it means it has to be this way and nothing different. So there can't be anything missing. Here also the Rashash points out, I mean, so why focus on the two Se'irim? Everything of Yom Kippur then is ma'akiv one another. And he says, because you would think the Sar al-Azazel is not even done in the Bis Mikdash. Maybe it's not ma'akiv, and therefore the Tana, that's one reason he says why the Tana had to highlight that one. But it's true that there are other details of the Avodah of Yom Kippur as well that are ma'akiv one another. Next, Shnei Kivsat Seres Ma'akvin Zezdeh, the two sheep on Shavuos with the Shtei Alechem are ma'akiv Zezdeh because Havoya, because the Pasuk says, and the pasuk says that you have to bring the lechem upon the shtei lechem with al shnei kvasim kodesh yiyu lashem. They should be holy to Hashem, and the word yiyu, they shall be, means it has to be this way and no other. Rashi actually brings a different pasuk. Solus tiyena. That's in connection with the shtei lechem. The Shtei Alechem themselves, Shtei Chalas Havoya. By the Shtei Alechem themselves, it also says the word Havoya. It says Solus Tiyena. They shall be made of Solus. So therefore, in other words, that it's Ma'akiv. Shnei Sdorin, the fact that the two stacks of Lechem upon him, you have to have both of them, because Chukah, because again, by the Lechem upon him, the Torah says it should be Chok Olam. Chok is the same Shodesh as Chukas, so again, it means that. Shnei Bozichin, the fact that you have to have two Bozichin, also Chukah, because also the Psukim, they also mention the two Bozichin, and the same rule applies. Asdorin Babozichin, the fact that you have to have both the Lachem Aponim and the Bozichin, same thing, Chukah, because when it says Chok Olam, it means it goes on everything there, the number of the Lachem Aponim, the fact that it's in two stacks, the fact that you have the Bozichin, etc., all of those dinim are included. Next, shnei minim shab nazir, the fact that the two minim of the nazir, the two types of bread, are ma'akiv one another, dichtiv, because the pasuk says, kein yaseh, this is how he should do. So that means, in other words, it has to be this way and nothing different. Shloishas abapara, the three things that have to be thrown into the fire of the parah adoma, because chukah, because the pasuk introduces it. So it's chukah satora, and therefore it means that it has to be everything that it says over there. Arbosh of a toida, how do we know the four types of bread that come with the toida? That is the itkash le nazir. The reason is because we have a hekesh with the korbanos of the nazir. Namely, dichtiv, because the pasuk says when it comes to a toida, it says that he should bring the korban toida together with 40 loaves of bread, al zevach toida shlomim, together with the korban of the toida of his shlomim. What does it have to say shlomim? A toida is a type of shlomim. It is true, but it could just said al zevach toidasa or something. But omer ma'ar, so we learn in a brayse that shlomim l'rabbis shalmi nozu. The word shlomim in this pasuk teaches us that the same kind of thing applies to the shlomim of a nazir. Namely, Rashi explains later in the Masechta, we're going to talk about that we learn a number of details from them. We learn about the amount of flour that has to be used for the chalas. We learn about the amount of oil that has to be used. So we learn from this hekesh between the korbanos of a nazir and between a korban toida and the korban of a nazir that there's certain similarities between them. So therefore, this rule also, that ma'akvin zaseh, also we learn from that. And varboshim of mitzora, the fact that the four minimum of a mitzora are ma'akev one another, dichtiv, because the pasuk says zois tia toras ha-mitzora, this shall be the rule of the mitzora, and again zois tia means it has to be this way, the same havoya, the same word meaning being that we said before. Varboshim of lulav, when we say the four minimum of the lulav are ma'akev one another, because the pasuk says olakachtem, it says you should take. From which we learn that the word lakachem means lakichat tama, means there has to be a perfect taking all of them together. So we have to take all four of them. So the Gemara continues in this connection. Omer of Chanan bar Rava loy shonu ela she'ein loy. This that was saying that he's not yotze when it comes to the dalad minim is only if he doesn't have all four of them. And we're going to talk in a second. There's a lot of different opinions among Rishonim what exactly that means that he doesn't have them. But if he has all four of them, ein ma'akvin, then they're not ma'akiv. There's quite a lot of opinions among Rishonim and Achronim what that means exactly. Rashi just says it means if he has them, even if he didn't tie them together. Now, the Gemara in Sukkah tells us, as a machloikas, whether in fact the dalad minim has to be tied together. Obviously not the esrog, we don't tie it, but the other three. So it would come out according to that. So you would have to pick them up all together. It would come out, but even if you didn't tie them, then still your yotze, because that would be what Rav Chanan bar Rava is saying. Tosfos brings over here from the Sefer Halacha, from the Baal Halachas Gedolos, one of the early goyim, who says that no, even after if he picks them up one at a time, then it's fine. When we say lulavein sarach eged, when we say they don't have to be bound together, not only would it mean that you can pick them up unbound in your yotze, Tosfos brings from the Bahag that says that no, I mean even he picks up each one individually. So he picks up the esrog, and next he picks up the lulav, and so forth, he would still be yotze. On the other hand, Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Tam that says that no, it means he does have to have all, he does have to hold them all together. They just don't have to be bound together. So you have that, the Mechaber actually paskins like the Bahag and says even if you pick them up one at a time in your Yotze, but the Ramah does say that you have to have them all in front of you, and there's quite a lot of discussion among Achronim about is he actually Yotze? What about if he doesn't have them in front of him? What if, for example, we showed him talk about various possibilities? What if, for example, he doesn't have them right now? Let's say right now, all he has is an esrog, and he picks it up. Later that same day, he gets a lulav. Can he now pick up the lulav and continue like that and be yotze like that? There are actually quite a lot of different opinions on that subject, whether he would be. The Ramban, in fact, says that that even so, he took one min and later on he got the second min. Then, as long as he picked up all four of them sometime during the day, he's yotze. The Ramban does add he shouldn't make the bracha unless he knows for sure he's going to be able to get all of them. Otherwise, it's going to be a bracha levatala. Most of the Rishonim disagree with the Ramban on that. They say you do have to have them all in your possession, and then you have the Smachlokas, as Tosfos is saying, do you have to actually pick them up all four together, or is it enough that you pick them all, do you actually have to pick them up all together, and they just don't have to be bound, and there is a, and then, and so there are different opinions about that among the poskim. So the Gemara says, Maisvi, I have a contradiction on Rav Chanan. So Rav Chanan is saying that if he has them, however we define has them, then they're not ma'akiv. But a Braitha says, Arba minim shebelulav, the four minim that you have to have for the lulav, shnayim mehen oisim peiros, two of them come from plants that produce fruit. Namely, the lulav comes from a palm tree, and the estrog itself is a fruit. Two of them do not produce fruit. Now, technically, the hadas does produce fruit of a kind. You know, the Mishnah in Sukkah mentions berries that sometimes grow on the hadasim, and you have dinim over there if the berries are green, if they're black or red, etc. But those are not really a fruit. I mean, you could eat them. The Mishnah mentions them. The Gemara there mentions if you ate them, but they're not really a fruit that are generally meant to be eaten. Anyway. So what do we learn from that? Ha'oisin peiros, the ones that produce peiros, the esrog and the lulav, mirus kukin l'sha'ein oisin peiros, they require to be together with the ones that don't produce peiros. The she'en oisin peiros and the ones that come from non-fruit bearing trees, the hadas and the arava, use kukim oisin peiros. They need to go together with the ones that do produce peiros. The einonim yotze dechevasa behen, and a person is not yotze with them actually you call them baguda achas until they're all together in one bond. So okay, we don't mean the esrog because the esrog is not bound together, but nevertheless, it's actually they do have to be held together. You do actually have to have the din when you're doing the dalad minim. You do have to have the esrog held together with the other three. And it's actually brought that the Beis Yosef brings that one time there was a chosid echad who had a dream where he saw the name Yud Kei Vav Kei separated. He saw the letters Yud Kei Vav together and the hay separated from them. And afterwards he was told by a Makubal, the problem is when you're taking the Dalad Minim, you're not putting the Esrog together with the other three Minim, and therefore you were shown Min HaShemayim that that's wrong. It's like separating the letters of Hashem's name. So you have la halacha, the esrog has to be held together with them, even though it's not actually bound together with them. Anyway, so the Braita continues, v'chein Yisrael b'hartza, and the same way, when the Jewish people want to be accepted by Hashem, when the Jewish people are fasting and davening to Hashem, they won't be answered, ad shiyukulim ba'aguda achas, unless they're together in one bond. The tzaddikim and the rishoyim. This is why, before Kol Nidre, we make the announcement on a matirim le'spalim ha'avayonim that we're saying that we're going to be able to daven with the sinners. Because, as the Gemara points out elsewhere, the same way as the Keturis, ad the chelbana in it, which smells bad, the same way we have to have poshe Yisrael have to be included in our tefillos as well. Shenema, as the pasuk says, habona b'shamayim ma'aloisav, Hashem builds his levels in Shemayim, va'agudose al Eretz Yisada, and his bond of the Jewish people is founded on earth, meaning only when the Jewish people are bonded together and then it's founded firmly. When the aguda is together, as Yisada, then you have a strong Yisori. So the point is this, Braise, they
so,
may ask
so one to, second.
Yeah.
So according to this logic, we're never Yotze because we're never one aguda. We dabble in different shuls in different countries.
Dabble in different shuls. There's nothing wrong with that. What we mean is baguda achas, that we don't exclude anybody. We don't have, let's say, for example, we're davening in a shul in Crown Heights. You don't happen to have people from Lakewood or Sakhna or Yemenites or whatever come in, but we wouldn't throw them out, chas v'shalom, if they did, right? So we're still baguda achas. So therefore, but the point is, you see from this that they have to actually be bound together. So what is Rav Chanan bar Rava telling us that, according to the different understandings of the Rishonim and Achronim, that they don't have to be bound together? Maybe even according to the Ramban, you don't even have to have them all in your possession right now. And according to the other Rishonim, you do, but you can pick them up one after the other, or you can pick them up all together, but they don't have to be bound. So the Gemara answers, Tanoim. Well, it's actually a machlokas Tanoim. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Lulav vein ogud, vein she'ena ogud kosher, the Chum say, that the lulav is fine whether it's bound or not. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Ogud kosher. Only if it's bound is it kosher. She'enei ogud pasul. If it's not bound, then Rabbi Yehuda holds it's pasul. Very well then. Rav Chanan bar Rava is saying according to the Chachamim, the Braisa we just quoted is according to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, "My time is Rabbi Yehuda." Well, why does Rabbi Yehuda pass them if it's not bound? He uses Gomer Kicha Kicha Me'agudas Ezer because he learns Xavier Shava on the word taking that you have by the bundle of Ezer that they had to take to dip in the blood of the Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim. By the Dalad Minim, Lakachtem Lachem by Yemarishin. Over there, Lakachtem Agudas Ezer. So he makes Xavier Shava. Malahalan by Aguda, just like over there, it has to be bound, and it's clear because the Pasuk says the words Agudas Ezer, a bundle of Ezer. Afkan by Aguda, the same way the Lulav has to be all bound together. Verabonon, Loigamri, Kicho Kicho, the Verabonon, do not have that Xavier Shava. Why not? Tosfos points out. Now, they do have, there's a different Gzera Shava on the word Kicha, famously, Kicha, Kicha, Misne Efren. We learn from the story of Avraham buying Efren's field, we learn from that Kiddushin, Ki Kachish Isha, can be accomplished with money. So, first of all, Tosfos says, so obviously they do hold of such a Gzera Shava, but first of all, maybe the one over here is not Mufne. Maybe in order for a Gzera Shava to work, it has to be that at least one of the words is Mufne, is available, is not necessary in the Pasuk for its Pasuk meaning, and here, maybe it's not, either by Lulav or by the Ezev, it needs to say Lakach. Them, because how else would you phrase it? Or Tosfos says maybe they hold of kicha, but not likicha, where it says kach mimeni and ki yikach ishisha, such a gzeder shava they darshan. But all kach them, they don't necessarily darshan that gzeder shava. But we talk about often, we talk about that not all the chachamim had the same masorah on which gzeder shavas are available. Each one learned from his rebbeim. Sometimes also a chacham would learn from his rebbe. It talks about this in Sfarim on Chol HaGemara. Sometimes, for example, they would have a Tana would learn from his rebbe. There are X number of Gzeira Shavas in the Torah, but not necessarily what all of them are. Or sometimes it would be there's a Gzeira Shava on these words, but not which specific examples of these words are to be used. So you can well have that there, as we often do, that there's machlokas whether to darshan a certain Gzeira Shava or not. Because, for example, let's say Rabbi Yehuda has a slot available. He has, let's say, he learned that there are X number of Gzeira Shavas, and he's missing one, and therefore lakachtem will fill that one in, whereas the Chachamim have a different one, or they have a different number, and therefore they don't have it. The Gemara continues, Keman Ozla Hodetanya. Which opinion does it follow? This that we learn in a Braisa. Lulav mitzvah l'ogdoi. It's a mitzvah to bind the lulav. Vim l'ogdoi, but if you didn't bind it, kosher. Keman. So we have to ask, who was that like? E could have Yehuda. If it goes according to Rabbi Yehuda, what do you mean? He said that it has to be bound. Loy ogdoi am I kosher. Why would it be kosher if he didn't bind it? He says that you learn from the Gzeira Shava that it has to be bound. E Rabbanan, if it's according to the Rabbanan, my mitzvah. Then why would there be a mitzvah in the first place? According to them, we have no basis for saying that it should have to be bound. And this is Olam Rabbanon. This Braisa is according to the Rabbanon, or my mitzvah, Mishum Zekelivan Veil, because there is the idea you should beautify the mitzvah, and it is more beautiful when you have them bound together. But nevertheless, according to them, it's not absolutely necessary in your Yotze, even if they're not bound. This that we said before about the Dalad Minim and them all being interdependent. Of course, we have the famous thing that we learn that everybody learns every year, Sukkot's time, that goes in more detail than that. It's not just Shnayim Oisin Paris, Shnayim Oisin in Paris, but also two of them have a fragrance and two doesn't, and the Arava has nothing, and they still all go together. The Mishnah said Sheva Azores Shabapara, the seven sprinklings of the blood of the Parah Adurim Akvas Zuasu, Ma'ak of one another. Why is that? Can chukah? Because you have the word Zos Chukas Atorah. So the same way as we said before, the ingredients that go into it, the Eitz Erez and Ezev and Shnitei Las and so forth, you need all of them because of the word Zos Chukas Atorah. The same way, the seven sprinklings that it says in the Pesukim, you need all of it. How do we know that all the sprinklings of the Korbanos of Yom Kippur are ma'akiv? Because ma'akiv zu'asu are all ma'akiv one another. So let's go through it. Remember, we said in the Mishnah that we can talk about there are several different Korbanos in which these sprinklings come into play. You have the Korbanos of Yom Kippur, but you also have the Par Helam Davashot Sibur, and you also have the Par Koyin Mashiach. So, Diyana Kippurim Chukah, by Ksiv Chukah, by Yom Kippur, the reason is because, again, because it says Chukah, because it says V'hoi Salachem L'chukas Olam. What about the Pau Koy Mashiach or the Pau Han and Dov Shot Sibur? How do we know the same rule applies Not matona achas men ma'akobes. When it comes to the ones of the par helam davar shel tzibur, the sprinklings of the par helam davar shel tzibur, the 11 applications of blood that need to be done there, and the par of par koyin mashuach, you have 11 par helam davar shel tzibur, the same 11, with the seiri avodas kachavim and the goat that's brought as a chatas apnimis for mistakenly worshiping avodas zara, for the tzibur mistakenly worships avodas zara. With each of them, you have 11 sprinklings. How do we know you need all of them? Kedetanya. So here's because we learn in a brisa. The pasuk says after the par helam davar shel tzibur, it says, but also lapor, he should do, for he should do to that bull of the par helam davar shel tzibur, kasher also lafar, just as he had done for the bull, meaning the one of the kohen gadol, the one of the kohen mashiach, which had been described earlier in that parasha. So, so what is that coming to teach us? As it is, the pasuk is listing all the details of all the sprinklings and everything that has to be done with it. So why does it have to say that he should do to it as he did to the par? Ma tamad loyma, what does it come to teach us? Lichbo bahazdois, it comes to repeat the point about that, that the blood has to be sprinkled, and to tell us from that, so from that we learn that if he's missing even one of the matonis, then what he did doesn't count for anything, and he has to start all over again. Because of that pasuk, also lapur, kasha, also lafar hachatas. So we learned extensively about it in Zvachim, that we actually learned that the Gemara had gone through in detail over there, that we learned from it all of those cases, that we learned from it that it applies to all of them, the korbanos of Yom Kippur, and the par helam davar shel tzibur, and the par koyin mashiach, and the seiri avodas kachavim. We learned from various psukim over there that it applies across the board to all of them. Okay. The Gemara says Tana Rabbanan, so now we learn in a Braisa in this connection. Sheva Hazoris Sheva Para, the seven sprinklings of the Parah Adoma, Shason, Bein Shaloi L'Shaman. Now if he did them, Shaloi L'Shaman, if he didn't have in mind that he's doing it for the Parah Adoma, Bein Shaloi M'chuvanes, Al Neuchach Pnei, or whether he did them having in mind for the part of Adoma, but not in the direction of Pnei Oyomoyed, not in the direction of the Mishkan or the Beis Hamikdash. Shittim Kabbetzis takes those out, and in fact the Braisa in Tesefta from which the Gemara is quoting doesn't have those words, but that's what it means. Mechuvanes means al nochach pnei oyomoyed. Psulos then it's possible because the Parah Adoma is called Chatos. And therefore it means, that it has to be l'shma, so therefore it's possible like a chatas shaloi l'shma, as we learned in Zvachim, and where it's not in the direction of the Ayom Moed, because it says, al noichach pnei Ayom Moed, and again it says chukah over there, and therefore it means they have to have all the details. So the Gemara continues, Vatanya, but we learn in another braisa. Similarly, the sprinklings of blood that are done inside the heichel, the shebe mitzora, and the sprinklings of the oil that are done for the mitzora, shaloi l'shman, if any of those were done shaloi l'shman, then also psulas, then they're also possible. So they're also possible in the case of the Metzora, it'll mean, in other words, that the Rashi points out, the Gemara is going to explain later, it means it didn't count for his Choyva, so he still can't eat Kodshim, he's still considered a Mechusar Kapara, and he cannot yet eat Kodshim. But with the other ones, it means the Choyva is outright possible. Rashi, by the way, refers over here to that Gemara in Sanhedrin that talks more about this, and also actually what we learned in Zvachim when we went through this whole sugya about these things, and the Gemara had explained that actually it never says by the power of Yom Kippur that you have to pour the shirayim on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, and therefore we need to learn from this pasuk, that you have to do that as well. And there are other details that we learned over there that are ma'akiv. So if they're done shaloi l'shman, when it comes to the blood of the chatos inside the chatoris, inside the heichel, and the oil of the mitzvah, there, if they're done shaloi l'shman, then they're posel, v'shaloi mechulvanis, but if they're done not in the right direction, k'sheres, then they're kosher, because there's nothing that says that it would be active if they're not done in the right direction. So in other words, Rashi says they don't have to be ben mizrach l'mayrav. They don't have to be from east towards west. They can be in any direction. So the Gemara says v'hatanya, but we learn in another brisa gavit para that it says by the para aduma shalor l'shman psulas shalor mechavonis kshiras, that even by the para aduma if they're shalor l'shman they're posel, but if they're done not in the direction of the heichal then they're kosher. So what is it? By the Parah Adumah. So fine, we're saying so far that by the Parah Adumah, the first Braisa had said, they have to be both Lashman and in the direction of Pnei Oyo Moed, and if not, it's possible. Whereas with the other ones, we said they have to be Lashman, but they don't have to be Mechuvonis. But now we have another Braisa that says even by the Parah Adumah, it doesn't have to be Mechuvonis. So what is it? The answer is Amar of Chista, Lekasha, Horab Yehuda, Horab Banan. Again, there are two different opinions. The two brises go according to two different opinions. The Rab Yehuda versus the Chachamim. The Tanya, as we learn in a brisa, Mechusre Kapara, any Mechusre Kapara, Zav, Zava, a Yeledes, a Metzora, all of them have to bring Korbanos in order to be able to eat Kodshim. Hinichnesul Azara, if they go into the Azara before their Korbanos are brought, Beshregig Chayiv Chatas, if they did b'shoigig, they're going to be chayiv chatos, the same as any other tomei person who enters the azara b'shoigig, and the chatos specifically will be the korban olav yoda. That'll be and that'll be specifically, as we learned way back from the Masechta Shavuos, that it means that they knew they were tomei and they knew this is the Beis Hamikdash, and then they forgot, and then later on they remember again. So that's where they're going to be chayiv chatos, the mezid onesh kodesh, and if they go in the mezid, they're going to be chayiv kodesh, even though now at this point their tumah is a very weak kind of tumah. At this point, they're not even really tumah at all. They're allowed to eat tumah, they're allowed to eat maisa sheni. The only thing they're not allowed to do is enter the Beis Hamikdash or eat kodeshim. Nevertheless, kodesh or chatos will still apply. Rashi points out, you have the Pasuk, the Pasuk mentions that the Pasuk says, in connection with the Parah Adumah, if a person became Tomei v'lo yischata, and he doesn't get cleansed, so that means whatever kind of cleansing is necessary for him, if it's a Tomei mess, then it means he has to be cleansed with Parah Adumah water. But if it means, Rashi brings from a Sifri on the Pasuk over there, that explains the same way we learn from that, that when you have a different kind of yischata, when you have a person who has to bring a korban for because until that korban is brought, then korban still applies. So therefore, he's still going to be chayiv korban. The ein sorach loyma tvul yoyim. Needless to say, if he's a tvul yoyim, so he tovled and didn't even have hair of shemesh yet, then for sure, if he enters the Beis Hamikdash at that point, then he's going to be chayiv korban to achatas. Rashi says again, because the pasuk says oyd tumaseh boy, his tumah is still in him. So therefore, and there his tumah is still definitely in him, because without hair of shemesh, he's still considered tomei to a certain degree. Next, the Braisa says, Ushar kolat meim, and the same thing with all other tmeim, any tamei person who goes into the Azara is going to be chayiv achatas or kores, as the case may be. What about utahorim shenichnasu lefnimim chitzasan? What about a tahor person who goes further in than he's supposed to? So, for example, Yisrael goes past the 11 amas of the Ezras Yisrael. So if he goes in there, so it depends. Lahechol. So if they go into the Heichel, Lahechol Kuloi, if they go in anywhere into the Heichel, meaning anywhere up until but not including the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Bar Boyim, then they're getting Malkus. They're getting 40, they're getting Malkus. Because the Pasuk says, Val Yoveh B'chol Eisa LaKodesh, a person should not come at all times to the Kodesh, except the ones who are supposed to be there, and a Zor is not supposed to be there. Tosfos points out, actually, and this din actually doesn't just apply to Yisraelim. It would also apply, Tosfos mentions, even a Koyin goes in there for no purpose. He's also Chayiv Malkus. Only if he goes in there to do an Avoida, or even he just goes in there to bow, that's considered enough of an Avoida. Tosfos says that he's fine with that. You find, by the way, a positive. You have a psukim in Sefer Nehemiah about that. There was a point where Nehemiah tells how he's in the middle of rebuilding the walls of Yerushalayim, and meanwhile you have his various enemies, Sanballat HaChoroni and Tovia, the Ammoni slave, and so forth, are constantly harassing him and trying to get the work to stop. Meanwhile, also at one point they come up with an idea. At one point they try to convince Nehemiah, we want to go and talk together someplace private outside of Yerushalayim, and Nehemiah realizes they're not exactly doing this out of friendship, and he says, nothing doing, I'm too busy over here. Then it goes on in the Pesukim over there to tell how they hired a false Navi, which until a person who actually until now Nehemiah thought was a true Navi. Now they hired the guy to say a false Nevuah to tell Nehemiah they're going to come to kill you tonight. And the only place you'd be safe is inside the Heichal, because again, the walls of Yerushalayim aren't finished yet. So come into the Heichal and you'll be safe over there.
That's where he hid the story about where he hid in the Heichal?
No, so that's Nehemiah replied to them and says, absolutely not. I'm a Zor, I don't belong in the Heichal. Me, Kamoni, Ash Yavre El Heichal Machoi, who like me, a Yisrael, could come into the Heichal and live. I'm going to be Chayav Kodes if I go in there. Or if he was saying he'd be high of Malchus, fine, but still, nothing doing. And he realizes the guy's a false Navi, and he's just trying to scare him. And he says, on top of that, if I had done it, not only I'd be high to the Eidishtit, it would also make a scandal. Everybody would say, look at that, not Nehemiah. He puts himself forward as a Frumid, and here he's going and violating open Halacha. Yeah. No, what you're thinking of, somebody who hid in the Heichel, was actually a couple of hundred years earlier, Baby Yehoyash, the last leftover person, last sign of Malchus Beis David, when Asalia killed, or wiped out the whole family, poisoned them all, then they took the baby, he was a year old at the time, and he and his nursemaid, they hid them in the attic above the Kurdish Kedoshim. And that was more of a matter of Pekuach Nefesh, I guess in this case, Nehemiah realized that it's not such a matter of Pekuach Nefesh, and again, he realized that this fellow who was talking to him is a Chalal faker, but yeah. Okay, anyway. So if he goes into the Heichal when he doesn't belong there, then he's getting Malchus. If he goes behind the Paroichas, if he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, El Pnei HaKaporas, so he actually goes even further in front of the Kaporas, in front of the Aron, B'misa, then he's getting Misa B'dei Shemayim. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Kol Heichal Kulei Umi Beis LaParoichas Ba'aboyim, the entire Heichal, and even the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's getting Malchus, Ba'aboyim is getting Malchus, V'al Pnei HaKaporas B'misa, only if he goes right in front of the Aron, says Rabbi Yehuda, he's going to be Chayav Misa. Now, once we understand their machloikas, then we'll get back to what we talked about as far as these sprinklings by the Parah Adumah having to be in the direction of the Heichal or not. So, but my commitment, what is the underlying machloikas? Baha'i Kra, they're arguing how to understand the following pasuk. Hashem tells Moshe at the beginning of Parshas Achrimos, Vayyem Hashem Moshe, Dabar El Aaron Achichos, speak to your brother Aaron, Va'al Yovel B'chol Yisrael Kodesh Mibes HaParoichas, he should not come at all times to the Kodesh inside of the Paroichas, El Pnei HaKaporas Asher Al Oren, he should not come in front of the Kaporas, which is on top of the Oren, V'lo Yomos, and he shouldn't die. So you have as follows. It's saying that he shouldn't come El HaKodesh, which means to the Kodesh at all. Then it says that he shouldn't come Mibes Laparoichas. Then it says Mibes Laparoichas. And then it says, El Pnei HaKaporas. So how do we parse the pasuk? Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan hold as follows. El HaKodesh B'lo Yavai. The issur for him to come into the Kodesh, just into the Heichal, there's an issur, it's a regular lav, lo yavo, you should not come in, and as usual with a lav, a person is chayav malchus for it. Mideis v'parochas ve'al pnei ha-kaporas, the chachamim hold that the rest of the pasuk, if he goes behind the parochas, and if he goes in front of the kaporas, below yomos, then it means that at that point, if he does that, he shouldn't do that, so he shouldn't die. So in other words, they hold that mideis v'parochas al pnei ha-kaporas all goes together, and both of those things he's chayav misa. Rabbi Yehuda suffer. Where's Rabbi Yehuda holds El Hakodesh U Mi Beis LaParoichas Below Yavai. Rabbi Yehuda holds Mi Beis LaParoichas goes with the first half of the pasuk. Va'al Yavai B'chol Yisrael Hakodesh Mi Beis LaParoichas. All of that is Al Yavai. You should not come below Yavai. So all of that is you should not come in and he gets malchus. El Pnei Kaporas Below Yomos. Only if he goes right in front of the Kaporas, further into the Kodesh HaKadosh, standing right in front of the Kaporas, only then the Torah is telling him don't go any further than that. Below Yomos, so you shouldn't die. So two different ways, in other words, of understanding. When we have that phrase, Mibes LaParoichas, in the middle, does it go with the first half of the pasuk El HaKodesh, or does it go with the second half, El Pnei HaKaporas, or does it go with the last part, El Pnei HaKaporas? That's the machlokes. Okay, well, since the pasuk can be parsed either way, so the Gemara says, my time, my Rabbanan, why do the Chachamim insist on learning the pasuk the way they do, and that Mibes LaParoichas goes together with El Pnei HaKaporas, and both of them is Chayav Misa? Because the answer, they say like this, my time adds Rabbanan, they say, because if you're going to understand the pasuk the way Rabbi Yehuda does, that Mibes LaParoichas is only a lav, then Lichtiv Rachmana, El HaKodesh, the El Pnei HaKaporas, and the Torah should say he shouldn't go into the Kodesh, and he shouldn't go in front of the Kaporas. V'loi boi, Mibes LaParoichas, it wouldn't need to say behind the Paroichas, V'ano Amina, and we would realize automatically, HaHeichel Mechayev, Mibes LaParoichas Miboya, if he's already Chayev Malchus for going just into the Heichel, into the Kodesh, how much more so if he goes behind the Paroichas. Because and after all, how would he get into the Kodesh HaKadoshim if not walking through the Heichel? So as soon as he walks into the Heichel, he's already Chayav Malkus. So of course, if appointed of Yehuda going to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's also Chayav only Malkus. He's already been Chayav Malkus as soon as he first walked in. So Mibeis Saparechas the Kosa Rachman Olamali. So the Chachamim say, then why does it have to say Mibeis Saparechas? Shema Mina B'Misa. That teaches us that Mibeis Saparechas is a new thing, and up until now he only went into the Kodesh and he's Chayav Malkus. Now he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. As soon as he sets foot in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's already Chayav Misa, say the Chachamim. V'Rav Yehuda, what does Rav Yehuda answer to that? He says the other way around. It's like this. The reason you're saying that it didn't have to say me based on parochas, but no. If it only said alakodesh and did not add the words me based on parochas behind the parochas, have amina, then you would think my kodesh me based on parochas. You would think the definition of kodesh means the place behind the parochas, the kodesh hakadoshim. Aval heichel lav nami lo. You would think maybe there's no lav even for going into the heichel. Maybe that's not the definition of kodesh in terms of this pasuk. So therefore, the Torah has to tell us we based on parochas, and it's bozev gilal zeh. It's kind of like once it says we based on parochas, then we understand kodesh also means the kodesh, as in the heichal, the 40 amos in which the shulchan and menorah and so forth are located, and we understand that both of them are belav. It's true, he's chayv for a lav, he's chayv malchus as soon as he comes into the heichal. But if it didn't say we based on parochas, we would misunderstand the word kodesh in the pasuk. V'Rabbanan, what are the Rabbanan answer to that? They say, no, there's no way that you could say that the Kodesh does not refer to the Heichel and only the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Heichel kula ikri Kodesh. The fact is, the entire Heichel is called the Kodesh. It says the Parochas in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim should separate for you between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So when the Torah says, V'al-Yovel b'chol Eisel HaKodesh, there's no question it means the Heichel. It means the area where the Shulchan and so forth are. So therefore, so it didn't need to say Mibeis HaParechas if it weren't to tell us that Mibeis HaParechas is Chayav Misa. But Rav Yehuda my time, eh? Okay, so why does Rav Yehuda still disagree? He says, because so fine. So that explains the Chachamim's opinion. So they say it's not that it had to say me based on Parochas to clarify for us what Kodesh means. There's no question Kodesh alone means the Kodesh, means the Heichel. Okay, now let's look at Rav Yehuda's Svara. Again, Rav Yehuda had parsed the pasuk to say me based on Parochas goes together with El Pnei HaKodesh and goes together with El HaKodesh, and both of those is only Malkus. So Rav Yehuda my time, eh? Why does Rav Yehuda learn the pasuk that way? He says like this, Isak Dadakir Ka'ami Rabbanon, if you're going to learn the Pasuk the way the Chachamim did, and Mibeis HaParechas is already Chayiv Misa, Lichtav Rachmana, then here was a different way the Torah could have phrased it. El HaKodesh, Mibeis HaParechas. It should just say that if he goes into the Kodesh, or if he goes in Mibeis HaParechas, then he shouldn't do that, so he shouldn't die. V'loi Boi El Pnei HaParechas, you wouldn't need to say El Pnei HaParechas, V'ana Amina, and we would realize again, Mibeis HaParechas B'Misa, if already as soon as he goes into the Kodesh HaKadosh and he's Chayiv Misa, El Pnei HaParechas B'Boya, would it need to be said if he approaches the Aron, how much more so? The same logic as the Chachamim are using to get into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you have to go through the Kodesh. Well, the same way, to get in front of the Aron, you have to first go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. El Pnei HaKapodes Tekos Rachman Olamoli. So Rav Yehuda says, why does it say El Pnei HaKapodes? Shema Mina, from that we learn, El Pnei HaKapodes Misa, only if he stands right in front of the Kapodes, is he Chayiv Misa, Mibeis HaParechas Da'azhara, but if he goes only into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then he's only Oiran Olav, and gets Malkus. V'Rabbanan, what are the Rabbanan answer to that? They say, Hochi nami d'loit tzarech. It is true. You're right. There is a valid point. It didn't have to say El Pnei HaKapodes, because according to us, as soon as he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's already Chayiv Misa. V'hai d'kos rachmona El Pnei HaKapodes. The reason why the Torah has to tell us the words El Pnei HaKapodes, l'mo'uti derech mishupash, comes to tell us, Not when he goes in an unusual way. Rashi points out the word meshupash is like the word meshubosh, which means like a crooked way or like a back way or something. So Rashi gives a few explanations. It can mean, for example, let's say you could have a person might dig through the wall of the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the north or the south, and he goes in through that. So in other words, you could have a person could conceivably come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and not yet be El Pnei HaKapodes, because El Pnei HaKapodes would mean he's standing with his face towards the, and he's standing facing westward, facing towards the Aron. But you could have, for example, he broke through the wall and comes in through the north or the south. Another possibility, Rashi says, he could go through the door, but instead of walking straight to the Aron, which is in front of him, he goes along the side. So now, again, in order for him to be chayev, he would have to be walking, and he has to be walking directly in front, directly towards the, and have his face directly towards the arayin. Tosfos discusses more possibilities about that. There could be also, for example, he could come in through the roof. We have famously, we know that there were the workmen who would send them down in boxes through into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in order to repair things. And that wouldn't even be considered derech bia. Here we're talking about it is derech bia. He's going in the normal way, but not through the normal doorway. Anyway, Tosfos goes on to point out different other things. Also, Tosfos points out another possibility, the Derech Meshupash, we learned in Zvachim that there was a small doorway behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so that the area behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Azari, you'd be able to shecht Korbanos over there, and therefore conceivably it would mean he went through there. So the Chachamim say, the reason why it has to say Al Pnei HaKaparis is to tell us if he goes in a different direction, then you're right, he's not going to be Chayiv Misa. Kedetanya, and Kedetanit Zvei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, as Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, in fact, teaches a Braisa. When the Pasuk says El or Al, when the Pasuk says El Pnei HaKaparis Kedem, or actually Al is how it says in the Pasuk, when it says to the face of the Kaparis to the east, Zeb Bona Av, from here we have a Binyan Av, Kol Mokam Shenema Pnei, whenever the Torah says Pnei, En El Pnei Kodim, it means specifically the east, or it means specifically towards the east. So now, in other words, for a person to have to be chayiv misa when he goes up pnei hakaparis means he goes in through the actual normal doorway into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he goes facing towards the Aron, and then as soon as he does that, then he's chayiv misa. But if he were to go in a different direction, for example, like we're saying, breaking in a door from the north or south, he would not yet be chayiv. He would not be chayiv misa for that. That's what the Chacham say. Therefore, that's why it had to say pnei hakaparis to point out that detail to us. Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? He says, you don't need the pasuk to tell us that. Lemakrup pnei. Fine, for that the Torah could have told us that he goes pnei akaporis. And even if he does, then he shouldn't do that. Velo yomus. My L, what does it say? True. Shmamina El Davka, it means that it has to be Davka towards the Kaparis, then he's Chayiv Misa, but not if he goes in from some other direction. But I've got an El Lab Davka, where the Chum hold El does not specifically mean in that direction. Now that we understand that, going back to the Parah Aduma, for Rabbi Yehuda, the Omer, El Pnei HaKaparis Davka, well then, Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that El Pnei HaKaparis means specifically, he dashes the word El, that from that we learn that it has to be facing towards the Kaparis, towards the east, well then the same thing, he's a El Neuchach, when it says that he should sprinkle towards the entrance of the Omer, Nami Davka, then it also means it has to be Davka in that direction. Therefore, the first Braisa says, if he does it in a different direction, no good. V'rabbanan, where's the Chachamim? We'll say, Midahosam, Lav Davka, since when it comes to going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the word El does not mean specifically that he went in towards the east. Even if he went in, they say the word El, we don't learn from the word El, we have to have a different pasuk, Mibes HaParoichas, El Pnei HaKaparis, they learn from the words Pnei HaKaparis, that he has to be facing towards the east, and therefore, and they say, actually, as soon as he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's Chayiv Misa. So then, Hochanami, from any direction, he's Chayiv Misa, the Chum say. Hochanami, Lav Davka, the same way over here, the word El does not have to be specifically in the direction of the Heichel, and even if it's in a different direction, then it's fine. So the Gemara though continues with that a little bit. Maski for Rabbi Yosef, but Rabbi Yosef asks on that, L'Rabbi Yehuda, mean the El Davka, El Neuchach, or Al Nami Davka, then what about when it says El Neuchach, when it says that he should sprinkle it towards the Heichel, or Al also, is the Girsa of Rashi, when it says Al, does that mean when it says Al Pnei HaKaparis by Yom Kippur, Nami Davka, El de Mikdashani, Lehova Havu Orim de Kaparis, what about in the second base of Mikdash, there was no Orim, there was no Kaparis? If you're telling me that when the Torah tells us it has to be Al Pnei HaKaparis, does that mean if there's no Oren and no Kaparis, then you can't do the sprinklings? How they do in the second Beis Mikdash? You're telling me they didn't do the sprinklings? Of course they did. So you see that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, the word El or Al does not have to be so Davka. The answer is Amar Rav Ba'ula, Amar Krab, Chippur Es Mikdash HaKodesh. No, because by Yom Kippur, the Pasuk says that he should make an atonement for the Mikdash HaKodesh. Mikdash HaKodesh means Mokam HaKodesh LaKodesh, the place that is holy for the holy thing. So even if the Oren is not there, the place where the Oren is supposed to be is good enough. That's one answer. Rava Amahava HaRabbanon. Rava says, here's a different answer. Again, going back to the Stira and the Braises, that where one says you have to sprinkle towards the Heichel, and the other one says not. Both, first we were saying one is according to the Yehuda and the other according to the Chachamim, depending whether we douse in the word El. Now Rava says, Hava HaRabbanon, both of them are according to the Rabbanon. It depends. When we say that it's kosher, it means he's facing towards the west, but he doesn't do it exactly in the direction of the door of the Ohel Moed. Instead, he does it a little bit northeast or a little bit northwest or a little bit southwest. So he's still basically facing west. He's just not doing it exactly in the right direction. So that's kosher. But if he's actually facing towards north or towards south and sprinkles, then that would be the first Braisa that said, that's possible. It has to at least be in the general direction of the Heichel. But then if he's in the general direction of the Heichel, and he does it not quite in the direction of the Heichel, but a little bit off, a few degrees off, then it's fine. So that's another way of explaining the Stira and the Braises. Okay. So we'll continue tomorrow, Baz Hashem, and we'll discuss a little more about this business, about Mechuvonis and all that, and then we'll get into other things on the Akiv Zeh.